Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we shall offer the rest. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, y'all can be seated. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. Now we can get ready for puja. You can be seated. Then develop the spiritual faculty of saddha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then use that to invoke the virya. So once your sati is there, saddha, virya, sati, the three spiritual faculty will develop a good mind for you to receive the Dhamma and understand what you are doing in the name of cultivation. Okay, now we shall mindfully develop the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. 南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨。阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦布当巴嘎瓦当阿比瓦迪米娑迦多巴嘎瓦塔达摩达曼达玛萨米สุปัตติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิโอเค you can be seated then we can turn to page 1 of the chanting book then we will proceed with the Pali chantingNamo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassaBuddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchamiDutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPanati Pata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami Adinadana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikha Padang SamadhyamiMusawada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami Now we are Chanda Padipa Puja Ganna Sarappa DithenaDipena hamadang sina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang Ganda sambarayutena Dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang thang Puja bhajana mutamangVanna Ganda Guno Petang Etang Kasuma Santatin Pujayami Monindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Chattena Chum Hotu MokhangPupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamangAdivase tuno bante ปาลิปาริกาปิทังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาสิทุโนบันเทปูจานังปาริกาปิทังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังNow we will do the puja expression based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the puja brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water.May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One.Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers.May this offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. A king of overall aspiration.By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception.Especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujedi. Dhammang Pujedi.Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. And we will off the light and you can have your meditation. By now, I think most of you would have understood what meditation is. For those who are new or who hasn't received the two new transcript books,You can collect them later. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those that not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. We are now chanting invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the English, then we will chant the Pali together. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadam Dhamma Savanankalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayam Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anotaro Punya Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yaditang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atha Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjalikaraneyo Anuttarang Nyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us be respectful, Pajama. Padang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Before we start, I have to announce the date. Today is the 7th 7th of March 2017. So today is 3 more days. 4 more days, sorry. 4 more days before our retreat, our annual retreat at Cameron Highland. It will be held on the 11th of March until the 19th of March. So as you can see from the whiteboard, for those who were not able to attend the briefing, please make note that the temperature up there can be quite cold. So bring along your warm clothing, your socks, your hand glove, or whatever that you need to keep you warm. Then the notes and books that you have to bring along, they are the Heart Sutta, short note. There is a very thick book with the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva in the front page. If you don't have, you can request for a copy. We will give it to you. Then you need the retreat chanting book, the thicker version. Then there are two or three amendment, not amendment, addendum page, where we will give it to you when you are there. Those who are already here, that day itself, I think Sister Padmasuri has given to you all, so you should have them. Then the other two sets of notes are very important. One is the retreat program, the 9-day retreat program. You must read through. They are very useful, very important. Even you don't go for the retreat, you should read through. It will help you to understand the focus of your cultivation. Then the Bodhisattva vow notes. This one you must keep it. If possible, make another set and laminate it. Because this one you need to constantly reflect, contemplate, and develop the vow, the determination. Initially, it's recommended that you do it every day for at least 3 months, so that this vow will take root and become very stable. Then after that, maybe once a week, you can look at it, renew and reaffirm your vow. Then when it has become a part of you, you can do it once a month, or every 3 months, or every 6 months. Then later on, when it's already very stable, you can do it once a year if you want to. By then, there is no more problem. This Bodhisattva vow, the notes are very, very important. You can have all the understanding that you need to have. It will help you a long way in your cultivation, and you can progress very fast with that vow, with those understanding. Your training, your cultivation will become very different. You will transform very fast. You will not only understand the Buddha Dhamma, you will awaken, you will realize not only the sainthood way, you will go through all, and you will develop your Bodhisattva way. The stages of Bodhi mind can be developed. There are only 5 stages of Bodhi mind. And immediately when you take the vow with the aspiration, with the sincerity, the determination, and the understanding and perseverance, you already have moved the first step. The first stage of Bodhi mind is already been planted deep within your consciousness, deep within your nature. And this is the driving force. When this one matures, or when this one is properly nurtured, then when it starts to sprout and grow, it will become beautiful. Then your cultivation will become very, very easy. All these are designed to help you, so that you can walk the path of Dhamma easily, with ease and with good understanding. Okay, I think that is about all. Then there are these two new transcript books. Some of you may already have it, collected it. Then there are some, I think, who may not have it because they are new. I think Joyce and Clifford, they haven't got it. Joyce, Clifford, come. The first book is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, Part 2. Then the second book is the 36th lesson. Take another step for Clifford. Okay. Sadhu. Yeah. Do you have the retreat notes and the Bodhisattva vow notes? Oh, take that set first. Take that set. The clip, the two sheets of paper. The notes. Just take it out. Take it out. Just one set. Do you need another set? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then the retreat chanting book you have, Yeah. Okay, that's about all. Then we can continue with our Diamond Sutta. Let's turn to page 1, the verse for opening this sutta. We will chant the opening verse. Then after that, we will continue from where we stop. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay. Then we turn to page chapter 18, page 145. Last week we finished chapter 17. Okay, this chapter, the title is One Substance Regarded as Identical. Then we also will read through the other translation. I read to you the other translation before we read Xuan Hua's translation. This one is a new translation by Alex Johnson. The Buddha then asked Subhati, "What do you think? Does the Buddha have human eyes?" Subhati replied, "Yes, he has human eyes. Does he have eyes of enlightenment?" "Of course, the Buddha has eyes of enlightenment, otherwise he would not be the Buddha." "Does the Buddha have the eyes of transcendent intelligence?" "Yes, the Buddha has the eyes of transcendent intelligence." "Does the Buddha have the eyes of spiritual intuitiveness or intuition?" "Yes, Lord, the Buddha has the eyes of spiritual intuition." "Does the Buddha have the eyes of love and compassion for all sentient beings?" Subhati agreed and said, "Lord, you love all sentient beings." "What do you think, Subhati? When I refer to the grains of sand in the river Ganges, did I assert that they were truly grains of sand?" "No, blessed one, the Lord. You only spoke of them as grains of sand." "Subhati, if there were as many Ganges River as there are the grains of sand in the river Ganges, and if there were as many Buddha land as there are grains of sand in all those innumerous rivers, would this Buddha land be considered numerous?" "Very, very numerous indeed, Lord Buddha." "Subhati, I know the mind of every sentient being in all the hosts of the universe, regardless of any modes of thought, conception, or tendency. For all modes, conception and tendency of thought are not mine." This is a very profound sentence. "And yet they are called mine. Why? It is impossible to retain a past thought, to cease a future thought, and even to hold on to the present thought." So now you understand why the Buddha Dhamma is so profound. In the Mahayana Sutta, it's mentioned very clearly. Those who know Mandarin, you will appreciate. 过去心不可得，未来心不可得，现在心也不可得。So the meaning is, 过去心 means the mind of the past is no longer reality. You cannot hold on to it. You cannot grasp on to it. Then the future thought, they are also not a reality yet. It cannot be grasped. It cannot be clinging. You cannot hold on to it because it hasn't happened. Future has yet to come. Past is already gone. So they are not a reality. And they are not what you believe to be real. Living being through delusion, through ignorance, they grasp and cling onto their past. Then they project their thought into the future, creating all this misery, suffering, and hope. But all these are ideas, according to Krishnamurti, not a reality. An idea cannot solve your problem, cannot free you. It can only give you hope, which is not a reality. That's why all of belief and all those things, it will not help you. Your faith has to come with understanding. Then it's no longer a belief, a blind faith. It's faith based on understanding. Understanding the truth, the reality of who the Buddha is. How wise a being, how unique a being he is, how virtuous a being he is. So all this, you will come to understand. Then he even said, 现在心也不可得, means the mind of the moment is also not something that you can hold on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I, and you want to be there eternally. You know, impossible. And when you have this understanding, then you will move on. And you will come to the realization, even though the present moment, like every cultivator, seems to understand, and they put a lot of focus on the present moment awareness. They say, the moment is the only reality in life. And you have to be in the present moment awareness to develop the ability to understand things. To awaken to truth, to realize the enlightenment. But most of these people, they don't understand the true meaning, because the present moment is also impermanent. Split second is dead and gone. That's why even if you can be within the moment, it's supposed to be the highest in life. You understand why it's the highest in life, isn't it? Yeah, this is the only reality in life. The rest, the past and the future, they are not the reality. So this reality is also impermanent. Split second is dead and gone. And this is still within the field of thought, within life itself. So in order to transcend life, to go beyond birth and death, you have to transcend the moment. That's why you have to realize the cessation of form and mind. You have to realize the unconditioned, which is Nibbana. And Nibbana can only come about when the form and mind cease. Then when the mind realizes itself and cease, that's how Nibbana can be realized. So this part of the Diamond Sutta, chapter 18, the last sentence is very profound, very beautiful. I read to you one more time. The Buddha said, Subhati, I know the mind of every sentient being in all of the hosts of universe, regardless of any modes of thought, conception, and tendency. For all modes, conception, and tendencies of thought, they are not mine. And yet, they are called mine. Why? It is impossible to retain a past thought, to seize upon a future thought, and even to hold on to a present thought. So that is the meaning of what I have explained. When you can realize and penetrate this reality, your mind becomes different. You no longer deluded by the phenomenal world. You remember in the Klang talk that I deliver, the title, Emptiness? What was the key point that I always explain and stress to you all? What was the key point? As real as can be. What is it? Just now we've gone through it. Within life, the only reality is what? The present moment. We have already gone through this. Life can be equated to existence. Am I correct to say that? To go through life is to exist. Can you agree to this? So life is equivalent to existence. To exist is to go through time. And we can define life very easily. The whole spectrum of time can be defined into just past, present and future. So that is what life is all about. And just now, I think Brother Chia's brother, he asked some very good question. He read the seminar book. And I put there in the seminar book. You have to understand life if you want to be happy, if you want to be successful in life management and other things. So he asked the question, how can we understand life? Now is the deeper one. Just now I explained to him it's more the mundane and the superficial aspect of life. Then I told him, if you meditate, you will understand much deeper. Because like we have gone through, there are two aspects of life, the mundane and the supramundane. Within the mundane, we talk about success in life. So living being has this craving to be successful in life. So they believe if they can have all those things that most people has been looking forward to have, they are considered successful. So what are the things that living beings look forward to have? First of all, of course, you must have good life. Good life comes with what? Good family. Good financial status. Good family units and all those things. So let's say as you go through life when you are young, you are born into a very good family. You are very blessed. Then they love you, they care for you, they provide for you, give you the best of life, the best of education, so that you can have the best facility to excel in the academic field. That is your first success. Able to have a good family to support you all the way to realize the academic success. Let's say you reach the pinnacle of your academic career, your academic life. Then you did very well in your study. Then you come out to work. Then you look forward to financial success. Before that, you look forward to career success. You like to have a career that can give you financial freedom, financial security, and at the same time, job satisfaction and all those things. Let's say you are very diligent, you work very hard, and you also reach the pinnacle of your career life. Then with that come financial status, financial success. You not only have financial freedom, you are able to make so much money. You got so much wealth, money, property, assets, and a lot of other real estate and other things. Even you can own all the luxurious car, beautiful homes. everything that living being fantasize to have. Mm. Even with all this, you will still have situation where you still have doubt, unhappiness. Especially family unity, family relationship, success. These are more difficult to achieve, to realize. And I explained to him, for most people who are diligent enough, hardworking enough, who has the relatively good parami, nowadays within our civilization, most people can achieve this, even though the percentage may not be high, but it's relatively high. I believe at least 10% of the people can have this. Maybe less, I don't know, but a rough figure, if you are within the urban population, I think easily more than 10% can realize that. But then to have the other family unit that is beautiful, that is loving, full of harmony, full of understanding, where the relationship between the family members are superb, beautiful. These are more difficult to achieve. And even assuming you can have this, let's say you are very blessed, you have a good family unit, very good spouse, then good parents, good in-laws, good brothers and sisters, very kind, very sincere, very loving, and a lot of harmony. Then to you, like you have perfected life, you are very successful in life, but the Buddha said you are still not free from suffering. No matter how successful you are in the materialistic field, he said there are this reality of his First Noble Truth teaching. He said there are certain life reality that you need to encounter or confront as you go through life. And these are the 8 realities that we talk about. The first 4 are very common: birth, old age, sickness, and death. Then the 5th one is separation. Just now I elaborated on it. Separation from loved one and your prized possession, your wealth, your career, and all those things. So when there is separation, a lot of misery, suffering can arise. So separation can happen in many ways, like most of us have gone through the contemplation. Sudden death due to accident, due to disease, due to nature's calamity like earthquake, flood, tsunami, building collapse, smash deep accident, and other things. There are many others. Then the 6th one is when you are with people whom you don't like, you will also have problems. You will also be afflicted. And nowadays in our society, you can witness a lot of this. There is a lot of child abuse. They call sexual harassment and all those things. Then there is a lot of cruelty. Then within your career field too. There are a lot of very difficult bosses that are not easy to be with. Then you have your family relationship, especially with mother-in-law, father-in-law, spouse, and all those things. Then sometimes between parents and children, when you are with people whom you don't like, it can trigger a lot of suffering, misery, mental agony. Then the 7th one is worse. It happened to almost all living beings. When you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, when things don't go your way, because when you have craving, desire, you want things to happen in certain way, But nature has its own sets of law. And nature is always different from your craving. That's why the Buddha said, when you cannot get what you want, you suffer. When things don't get your way, you suffer. When your expectations in life are not met, you suffer. You expect to be promoted, you never get. You expect your brothers, your sister, your spouse to understand you, your parents to understand you, your good friend to understand you. But in reality, it's seldom the case. That's why through your own self-delusion, negativity, your thought will create suffering, mental suffering and misery for you. Then the Buddha summarized all this reality. He said, in short, it's due to living beings' self-delusion that condition them to grasp and cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that this is you, the human form and mind. Yeah. The two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind. So when you do that, the Buddha said, you will suffer. You will be afflicted. Misery will arise. So no matter how successful you are in a materialistic sense, spiritual understanding are also important for you to be completely free from suffering. So whatever you achieve within the conditioned world or materialistic field, thinking that with all this success it can bring forth the good life, the happy life. But no, because as you grow old, you will have to confront the first four realities of birth, old age, sickness and death. And you cannot come to terms with that because you believe this body is you. This human form and mind is you. And you attach and cling. You worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. That's why you have so much problem. Fear of dying. Fear of getting sick, getting old. Disease. Then there is a lot of fear. Fear of losing your loved one. Fear of losing your health, your promotion, your wealth, your property, things that you hold on to dearly. All this, you fear separation. That's why in the Buddha's teaching, he said there are five daily contemplations that you have to contemplate. The first four is to deal with the first noble truth reality. Then the fifth one is to understand the law of karma. That this form of mind, the so-called living being or human form of mind, they are not real, they are not you. But they are subject to law of karma. That's why the Buddha asks us to reflect. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So if you come to understand the law of karma played such a great role in your life, then you have to take care of karma. And what is karma? Because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. So if you don't take care of karma, your life will become afflicted, miserable. So this understanding is how the Buddha came out with his advice. He said, if you want to have the good life, you have to follow and heed his advice to take care of karma. And how do we take care of karma? We reap what we sow. So you have to avoid all evil. Do good. Purify the mind. To develop the spiritual understanding, the wisdom. Then only it can help you complement your materialistic success so that you can have perfect understanding to live life. Then only you can be free from suffering. Then only life become different, meaningful, wonderful, beautiful. Without that spiritual understanding to complement your materialistic success, you will still be afflicted. You will still have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All the affliction of mind will still arise because through delusions, especially self-delusion, you grasp, you cling. So this particular chapter, this particular teaching, can teach us a lot of things, develop a lot of wisdom. Then coming back to life, this is what I want to explain. Just now we talk about past, present and future. As we all know, past already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come. So the present moment is the only reality in life. Moment to moment, life passes by. Like I said, the present moment is so flickering. Split second is dead and gone. So how real can life be when the only reality, which is the present moment, is so fleeting? Split second is dead and gone. Then why do you hold on to life and take life so seriously through delusion, clinging on to all the thought process, the emotion that arise through your views and opinion, your mental conditioning, your belief system and all those things? Then you must meditate to understand who are you, what are you. You are but just a physical form and a mental consciousness trapped inside a bundle of memory with its thought process, which are response to memory. And this bundle of memories with its views, opinion and conditioning, belief system, is the one that is living your life, because you don't understand. You don't have the mindfulness, the awareness, the clarity of that true nature or true mind to see all this and to understand that this form of mind is not real. They are impermanent, lead to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why the teaching of anatta, non-self, empty nature, comes about. And when you penetrate this through the meditative understanding, you awaken and you will be completely free. So the question is now, if the present moment is the only reality, and moment to moment life passes by, you ask yourself, what are you doing? What are living beings doing? Even until now, with all the Dhamma that you have learned, have you ever contemplated into this? Moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't repeat what I say. Just tell me in your own words, what are you doing? If you cannot penetrate that, it's very difficult for you to awaken, to realize the truth. What are you doing? Most human beings, what are you doing? Maybe we ask Brother Teos. Sorry, Brother Jess. Brother, what are you doing every moment in life? Can you roughly find out what actually are you doing? We already explained that the whole of life is existence. Existence can be correlated to time. To exist is to go through time. So past, present and future we already identified. The whole spectrum of time is there. Past already gone, no more reality, so forget about it. Future yet to come, also no more reality. The present moment is the only reality. But the present moment is so fleeting. Split second is dead and gone. So moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? That is the very simple question. What are you doing? What you are doing is what most living beings are doing. You want to try to answer that? Yeah, it will be very interesting. You will learn a lot from that. You can use the mic if you want to try to answer. Most of the time throughout the day, what are you doing? Apart from sleeping, waking up. Use the mic, the mic, so that I can hear you. Push it out all the way. Push it out all the way. All the way. Okay. Ah, yes. We can hear you.
So you look at the...
Yeah, yeah. We can hear you. It's on the mic area. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Based on the future, so we have to make sure we need to be confirmed that to make sure we don't lost the directions, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to make sure
That is what your mind intend to do. So that you can really understand life and live life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is quite good. But my question is, what are you doing throughout the day? What are you doing? Most of the time you are thinking, isn't it?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So human beings' problem is, and now you're off the mic, I explain this one, you will understand. Push it down all the way. Yeah. Human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Can you agree to that? Most of the time they think a lot, isn't it? Then when they think, they worry a lot, isn't it? Because they always think of problem most of the time. Seldom do you find living being think of the happy moment, and so on. Unless they got no problem, then they look at the photo. And now no need to look at the photo album. Now you can on your computer or you can on your handphone. Push it out. Push it out all the way. Out all the way. Just speak on it. You didn't press the whole thing. Up. There's one more slot. On the...
Most of the time, our accounting firm, so normally we do a lot of very tight schedules.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Especially the audit things.
Right? Where you got deadline, milestone to fulfill.
And also the... Sometimes we are short-handed.
That is the most critical part within the accounting firm. Because within those few months, you need a lot of people. The tax submission has to go in all the whatever thing that you need to resolve, you need to resolve.
As long as you're able to meet the deadline, that should be considered...
Already very good for your company, isn't it? So what we are more concerned is the mundane fulfillment of our duty and all those things. That's what human beings are doing, not only peculiar to your accounting firm. Every human being is going through life the same way. They worry about so much thing. Like your accounting firm, you worry about deadline, understaff. Then you worry about your staff making mistake, or sometimes you yourself make mistake. Then the client threatened to sue you and all those things. Then apart from office thing, we also worry about our loved ones, our family members. Then we also worry about all those life related things.
And the other thing is that the normally when we finalize the accounts, so normally we need to do some checklist.
That one is very important. You shouldn't overlook the important checklist. Then sometimes you miss something or you make some mistake. It can be pretty difficult to resolve. So these are the realities of life and existence. And this is just a small part of life, understand? This is career. That's why a lot of people, when they cannot take it, the stress is so high, what do? They resign. But as a owner, as a partner, you cannot resign unless you want to let the company fall out or you want to hive it off. So these are the things that living beings face. So they are all the time thinking, planning, worrying. So that one fit in very well, isn't it? You have to think how to solve all this. You have to plan how to resolve all this.
You're able to solve the problem, then there's no issue.
Yeah.
Let's say you're unable to to strike the deal.
Also problem.
Also another problem.
Yeah. So all these are what they call life reality.
That's correct.
So human being, every time when they go through life, they confront life, they have this problem. They have to plan. They have to develop a lot of striving to overcome situation and problem.
It's a planning.
Yeah, that's why I say they are most of the time thinking. They think.
Yeah.
Then they plan. Mm. Then they worry because they fear things may not work out, like you mentioned just now. Yeah. Then when there is a situation and the client refuses to resolve it with you amicably or in whatever manner, then you are in a situation you can face the what they call you have to face the consequence of the suing your company.
Definitely.
Yeah, and claiming for all the damages or whatever professional negligence and all those things. So not only in accounting firm, in engineering firm is also the same, in legal firm is also the same. So even in all the other profession, medical line, they also have negligence and all those things. Because society is such. So if you were to understand, everything boils down to the thought process. It is the thought process that create the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow and the lamentation. And in reality, there is no such thing as perfect life. Understand? You cannot be so lucky as everything go your way. Everything smooth sailing. They are bound to have problems. Like every profession, there are black sheep. Every house has their own problem and situation. The only difference between a family or an individual that have the teaching or the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, the only difference is they don't have to suffer. They don't have to worry like normal human beings. They will know how to accept the reality, understand what is going on. Then they will know how to move on, to resolve it. And they will not have fear because there is nothing real.
We have to solve the bigger part.
Like I used to...
From there on, you move on.
I used to tell Dhamma friends, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety can help you. Because these are not reality. These are thought projection that make your consciousness miserable. That fear type of energy is very negative. Very, very negative. Then when you worry, you don't have clarity. It makes you worse. That's why these are called mental hindrance. So, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety is going to help you. So meditation is to help you develop this understanding. Whatever happened, the Buddha said, don't fear, don't worry, don't project your thought, and don't create all the negativity of mind state.
As long as you have a fear factor,
you become miserable. You will become miserable. Then I will explain a bit more. Okay. You see, if you want to go through life and get things done or resolved, you have to first... The first understanding is very important. The first thing you have to do is don't stir your mind, don't react, and don't create the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Delusion means you don't have wisdom. That's why you develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the attachment, and all those things. Then greed is your craving, your desire. Then anger is your emotion, your negative emotion, your hatred, your anger, your violence, and all those things. If you get angry, it will not help you. So the first thing is to be at peace, means to accept the reality. People say, okay, problem has arisen. But for those who understand as a Buddhist who has the Dhamma, to me, there is no such thing as a problem. It is only a problem when living being perceived with negativity. You see this point or not? If you see this point, you will develop a lot of understanding.
Yeah.
Because you perceive with negativity, you have fear. What happens if this thing don't work out?
Yeah.
What happens if I cannot solve it?
Yeah,
these are questions
yeah.
that thought create, not a reality. But it projects fear. So the first advice is to accept whatever reality that already arises. Means to me, it's not a problem. This is life. This is a reality. Everybody has to confront.
Yes.
So when it arises, I accept. Okay, happened already. Like car accident. Already happened. Bang already. You somehow want to go and blame and say, if my wife had not driven my new car, this thing would have been avoided. But these are not reality, and it's an idea created by thought, then you get angry. Now, if this guy has been more careful, this accident will not happen. All this will make you more angry. Make you develop the anger, the hatred to argue. To enter into conflict, and it will not solve your problem. It will lead to more problem,
yeah.
more misunderstanding. So what should you do? You should accept the reality of the moment. That's why don't perceive in negativity. Don't blame, don't project, don't react. Just see with a clear mind. That's what meditation is all about. Develop the clarity of mind, not to stir, not to react. To accept the reality of the moment. When you can accept means you have wisdom. You can be at peace with the moment. And then you act. Understand?
Yeah.
Because you have to act. Otherwise you cannot get a result. Action is very important.
Unless you have the backup plan. You know?
Yeah, all these are still the thought.
Yeah.
Understand? The thought want to have backup plan or something. But you listen attentively, you will learn something. Yeah?
Yeah.
Very different. What happens if I accept this reality and I don't point finger? Then I look at it. I ask myself only one question. How can I resolve this amicably? The word is amicably. So that it's fair to you and fair to the other person. Or fair to your client and fair to your company. And your staff.
This issue, normally we have to work together.
Yeah. So the focus is on what? Not to blame, not to argue. But all this
yeah.
is
yeah.
not going to help you, not fruitful.
Yeah.
The most important thing is, like you say, we are here to resolve problem issues.
Yeah.
So we have to be very honest about the situation, very sincere. If it's our mistake, we accept. Understand?
Yeah.
Then we tell the client, okay, we make a mistake. Really very sorry. And I hope to resolve it amicably with you. So these are the few possibilities that we can move on so that we can get it resolved. Because mistake is a mistake. Then most companies would have bought professional indemnity insurance. Because just in case. So professional indemnity insurance is there to take over when you have a situation. So there is nothing to fear. Like car accident, I always say, what is such a big deal about car accident? As long as there is no injury, no death, don't worry so much. Because just tell the opposite party, I'm very sorry that this accident happened. If you need to claim my insurance, please go ahead. If you need to make a police report, we make a police report. Otherwise, we resolve this amicably. But no amount of argument can help to develop a solution. It will only make each other more angry, more unhappy. Then when you have a conflict, a misunderstanding and an argument, you cannot resolve things anymore, where the ego has already taken over. So first be at peace, then with a clear mind, do not project your thought, ask yourself, how can I resolve this amicably? Then, if you have the teaching, you have the Dhamma, you have to apply Noble Eightfold Path. You familiar with Noble Eightfold Path? The teaching? Not familiar, huh? The Buddhist teaching. You familiar?
No.
Oh, you familiar? You heard of this Noble Eightfold Path? Have you heard of this Noble Eightfold Path? There are 8 path factors there where you need to meditate on and cultivate.
Yeah.
First is right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right for right effort, then right mindfulness, and right samadhi.
And then the conclusion.
Once you have this Noble Eightfold Path factor, you will have no problem because you can resolve it amicably. But this Noble Eightfold Path will not lead to violence, will not lead to argument, because it is based on right view, right understanding. Then right thought means you are very, very gentle. Yeah? You are very pleasant in your approach to people, the way you communicate with them, the way you act, the way you arise your thought. You have a lot of mindfulness, heedfulness, a lot of love, a lot of compassion. You are incapable of harsh speech, wrong speech, wrong thought and wrong action, aggressiveness. All these are not there because you have right view. Right view with regards to the 3 important spiritual law, law of karma. You reap what you sow. Maybe in the past, I also Hitler did this to people. Now, people Hitler did this back to you. So it's cause and effect. So if I accept this reality, I don't blame anymore. I don't say, why me? I don't even want to blame God or anybody. I just accept that these are cause and effect. Condition from the past, when there is condition for the fruition of it to arise, it will arise. So if I can accept the reality, then I have this wisdom to move on. Then I can resolve it. I got no more problem.
Yeah.
Problem only arise when I perceive it in negativity, then through wrong speech, wrong action and wrong thought process, I simply say things and simply do things. Then it will lead to conflict, misunderstanding, argument, then even violence. So this is what the teaching is all about. Develop the clarity of mind to see things clearly. Then ask yourself, what is the most appropriate condition for me to act so that I can resolve this amicably? Resolving issue and so-called situation is very important. Then there is no more problem. Then everything is about the reality. The reality is it happened already. I have to resolve it. I have to apply Noble Eightfold Path. Once I do that, it will lead to a solution which is amicable to all, where there is no selfishness, no negativity behind. Okay? Now you can off the mic. You can off the mic. The mic. No, push it down, the button. Down already. Okay, thanks, Chui. Thank you. So, that is the part that I want you all to understand. Living beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life. Miss out on life means what? They are not able to calm themselves down, to be with the moment, to experience the pristine beauty and reality of the moment. When you can just stay silent with the moment, without thought, without movement of thought, your mind becomes so beautiful. Then you can experience the pristine beauty and wonders of that moment. And that moment can become so beautiful. Because when you are free of fear, worry, anxiety, which is movement of thought. Wait, you have to on back, otherwise we can't hear you. There are 2 slots. There are 2 slots.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear?
Yeah, can. Yeah. Just now you mentioned as long as you're confident, then you continue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as long as you're confident.
Yeah.
So. for whatever you involve, you should be able to reach your objective.
You will do better because you have confidence, understand or not?
Yeah.
Confidence is the faith, understand or not? It's just like the English saying, if you are confident, half the battle is won. Because if you are not confident, means you know you don't stand much chance of winning the argument or resolving the issue, because you know you are at fault. That is the mundane way of doing things, the usual way of human beings approach to life. But the Buddha's way is different. Understand that? The Buddha's way, I explained to you, you have to offer it, otherwise distortion and when you want to speak, you on again, because you are new to the mind. I just push it all the way down. Okay, then I will explain. That one just now is the usual way where cannot just off it. Never mind. Don't worry. Hey, it's still on. I want you to off it. Oh, okay. It's okay. I just off it first. Never mind. Otherwise, there is distortion there. We need your cooperation. So what I want to explain is, you want to say something or what? No, you have to off it because you're still on. The thing is still on. The thing is still on. Push it down all the way. Okay. Off ready. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, still on. Actually, you help. Help. Just. Just help him. Never mind. Just help him to off. Chui. Just help him to off. It's still on. It's still on. Chui. Okay. I heard that one. Never mind, leave it off first. Leave it off. Leave it off. Never mind. I will just explain this. I need to move on, otherwise. Oh, what's the time now? Yeah. Oh, 10:00. Okay. It's okay. So just now when you mentioned about you have the confidence that you can resolve it. So this is mundane way, which most people do. Because when you are confident, means you are sure you have the understanding of what to say and all those things. Means there are more positive points on your side. Then when you are more confident, you speak more confidently, you tend to be in a better position to get things resolved. But these are mundane ways. The Buddha's way is, you don't need to have all this what they call way to speak. Like you try to be confident, you try to impress people, you try to argue yourself through, you try to win the case because you are very good at all these things. These are some of the business world's tactic or training. Some of them, they are trained to be skillful as negotiator. They will negotiate for you. You pay them a fee. Then there are also a lot of other people trained in other skills to attend to different type of client. Aggressive one. Then some very, very calculative one and other things. Whatever it is, these are mundane technique or skill that mundane people within the society, they develop. And some of them become like professional consultants. They try to act for you and deliver the case for you. It's just like lawyers and all those things. They claims consultant. But what we are more interested here is the Buddhist way. Through wisdom, through understanding, we get all this resolve. And we resolve with a very different approach. The different approach is, we are not there to take advantage. We are not there to create unnecessary misunderstanding and all those things. We are there to resolve it amicably so that it's fair to both parties, so that it will bring about win-win situation or solution for both parties. And to do that, you must have wisdom. Wisdom can only arise when you have developed the training of the mind to be mindful, to be heedful, to have that clarity, not to stir your mind, not to react, not to act aggressively, selfishly, not to project your thought to develop the fear, worry, and anxiety. So this is what meditation is all about. When you can meditate, and when you understand your mind so well, you will come to the understanding, the clear understanding, that all these mundane people, they are doing all this because they don't have this understanding. That's why they project their thought, they worry. That through their fear, worry, anxiety, they try to do something. And all this come from their delusion, self-interest. That's why there is greed behind. They try to cover their so-called more crude term, cover their backside, protect their interests and all. So these are all selfish thinking. They are not there to resolve things amicably so that it's fair to both sides. It's just, as long as I can prove that I'm not wrong, then I'm okay. We are more towards selfishness. Society's approach is always like that, to win the case. They are not concerned about fairness, amicable solution. Whereas the Buddha's way is, they understand the law of cause and effect, karma. If I do this to people, if I use my authority, my influence, to win the case, maybe to buy over the judges and all those things, or hire a gangster to finish you or another thing, these are mundane way. But the Buddhist who has the Dhamma, they know it's not worthwhile. Whatever you do, you reap what you sow. In future, people will do back to you in this condition. Then you become the victim. Now you may think that you are in a position to take advantage. But in future, the law of karma, when it comes to fruition, when there is condition, you will take the opposite role. You will become the victim. Then people do this back to you. Then you become miserable, afflicted. And you say, how can they do all this to me? But in the past, you didn't know. You did to people. You never say, how can I do this to people? So, if this understanding of the law of karma, the true cultivator of the way, who has the Dhamma understanding, they will not act this way. They will never, never create suffering and misery and take advantage of people. They will never develop the delusion to arise all this selfish intent to benefit and to create suffering and misery to those who are not in the position to defend themselves. So that is the difference, the mundane way of resolving things and the spiritual way of resolving things is totally different. That's why this type of teaching and meditation can bring about a completely different understanding. And the approach to life is so beautiful. That's why when you have the Dhamma, you become a blessing to all. People feel confident when they are in front of you. They trust you. They feel that you are somebody very sincere, trustworthy, and who really, really handle things very well. You are very professional in your approach. You didn't have the slightest selfishness to take advantage of your client, or your subordinate, or your staff, and all those things. So this is what the Dhamma is capable of. So here, we are dealing with wisdom, understanding. No more the mundane approach to life. Okay? So this part, we are clear. So now I move on to the actual chapter 18. We look at Xuanhua. One substance regarded as identical, chapter 18 of the Diamond Sutta. Subhati, what do you think? Does the Tathagata have? Oh, this is the same. Oh, this particular one happened to be the same. Okay, we turn to the next page. we look at the commentary, we see what Xuan Hua had to say. A bodhisattva who commits himself to understanding, to undertaking practices which are meritorious and virtuous, should proceed without hesitation to do just that. Seeds planted in the field will in the future yield a harvest. There is no benefit in speculating on the size of the crop. Attention need only be paid to the planting and cultivation of the field. If care is taken and the condition of earth, water and wind are right, then the plant will grow. If the field is never planted, however, no yield at all can be expected. In just that way, the bodhisattva takes living being across to the other shore without actually taking any living being across. A bodhisattva does not waste energy worrying about the outcome. He just do his work. You remember this analogy, right? It's very similar to what I used to tell you. When you cultivate, what must you do? Yeah? When you are cultivating. Don't try to know. That is a good one. Why you want to know whether you have progressed or not? Like that day at the Sunday class. Miss Lee, the mind keep on wanting to know that I have progressed, I have won. Means the atta is still there. That's why, like Xuan Hua said, as long as you are sincere, you have the faith, you just cultivate diligently, persevere, and the result will be there. You don't have to worry about what the outcome will be, what the result will be. Means you don't have the faith, you are not confident, you are not sincere. If you have the faith, you are confident, and you are sincere, and you just do, nothing can go wrong. So cultivation is like that. Don't try to know. Just do. As long as you are sincere, you have the faith, and you just diligently do it or persevere, then the way will be there. The path will be there. Awakening will be there. So this part is very useful. Then Sakyamuni Buddha again called to Subhati and asked, does the Tathagata have the flesh eye? The flesh eye referred to is not the ordinary eye of common people, but one of the five eyes. Why is it given the name flesh eye? It is called flesh eye because it can see tangible object and also object which are devoid of form or mark. Ordinary eye can see people, but they cannot see ghosts and spirit. However, with the power of the flesh eye, one can close his ordinary eye and continue to see people. What is more, the flesh eye can examine people in the minutest detail, taking note of any distinguishing people. Distinguishing mark, such as moths or birthmarks. The range of the flesh eye is much greater than that of ordinary eye. It can see every object within a radius of 5 miles without obstruction. What Xuan Hua is trying to explain, if I'm not wrong, because in the early days he is very interested in the psychic field. He is talking about the special psychic ability to see. I need to move on to the chair. Okay. That's the reason why he said, it can see every object within a radius of 5 miles without obstruction. Then he went on and described the heavenly eye, on the other hand, can see clearly into the heavens. Gods can be seen dining and sitting in meditation, and one can hold other events which takes place in the heavens. The heavenly eye does not perceive material form or objects such as people, table, flowers, and the like. The flesh eye, the heavenly eye, the Buddha eye, the wisdom eye, and the Dhamma eye. So these are the five eyes. Are located on your head. The flesh eye and the heavenly eye are on opposite side of your forehead. When your five eyes are open and you can utilize them, you yourself will know their location. So Sera is talking about the psychic ability that one develops. After you have developed the ability, you will have this psychic ability to develop the so-called five eyes. But the last one which he mentioned, the Dhamma eye, is not an eye, that is Dhamma. Then the wisdom eye is also not a physical eye, that is wisdom itself. But I don't know what he mean by Buddha eye. Let us read on to find out. We can already see all the way to the moon through the use of telescope, someone may say. With the use of heavenly eye, you do not need a telescope. Everything in the heavens, everything on the moon, everything on the star can be seen right from where you sit. Scientists now perform experiments in order to expand their power of observation. We do not experiment. We just learn to enter samadhi, and then everything can be seen very clearly. The power of the heavenly eye is very helpful in the study of astronomy, but you cannot capitalize on that ability if you acquire its use. Although the heavenly eye is a priceless gem, it cannot be sold. If you see something with the heavenly eye and try to disclose your finding, your heavenly eye will automatically disappear. It is just that wonderful. The heavenly eye cannot be used to make profit, nor can it be used to gain power over people. If you say things like, "You had better pay attention to me, I know things which you don't know," you have a defect, and your heavenly eye will quickly disappear. So this is Xuan Hua's commentary. He's talking about all this psychic ability. But he also believes in non-negativity. Have you all heard about those gamblers who learn all this special skill to gamble from very, very well-known masters and teachers? They are very good in all the various card games and gambling games. But this art, according to many of them, even in the interview with all this newspaper, I wonder you have all have heard. They used to mention something. You cannot use this skill to make money, to cheat, to deceive. The moment you use it, you will lose it. And this is what Xuan Hua is trying to tell you though. If you make use this so-called psychic ability to make money, it will disappear. You will lose it. So to me, these are psychic field, energy field. It may appear very interesting when you hear about it. You can have heavenly eye, divine eye to see all this. And these are really possible. Even during the Buddha's time, some of the disciples can have all this ability. They even can create manifestation of bodies, their own body, one into many and many into one. And these are all psychic ability that can be done. Then they call divine eye, divine ear. Then they can penetrate the four elements. They can go through space, levitate, penetrate wall, go through earth element and other things. So all these are psychic field which are possible. But the Buddha never encouraged all this. He said, if you touch all this, you will lose your ability to develop wisdom and the understanding of his teaching. Unless it comes as a byproduct, like the Buddha's case, then it's different. Yeah. The moment you touch all this psychic field, your delusion will create the greed and other things. Then you can get yourself entangled because the non-human will come after you. Yeah. There a lot of things can happen to the cultivator who venture into psychic field. Yeah. So this part maybe make a note. Yeah? Okay. Why, you ask? Does the heavenly eye function that way? Arrogance is attachment to self. The reason a bodhisattva is able to take living being across without there being a mark of a living being or a mark of taking them across is because he has no attachment to the self. He obtained the power of any of the five eyes and then brag about the attainment saying, I have the heavenly eye, you don't. Then you lack the requisite stature. If you originally could see clearly with the heavenly eye, you will see a little less clearly as a result of your attachment to self. If you do not see, turn to the next page, huh? Clearly, but are still arrogant about the little bit of attainment you have, then you will totally lose whatever power you have gained. There is exactly that direct ratio between the power of the five eyes and the attachment to self. Therefore, it is essential to understand the Buddha Dhamma. For if you do not, it is possible to make serious mistakes. So this is Xuan Hua's explanation. Eh? Because he did a lot of this spiritual penetration during the younger days of his cultivation. In fact, he has the vow. During the early years, he vowed to have this five spiritual penetration. Every life he come. Then he later on add in the six, which is enlightenment, the six spiritual penetration. Okay, maybe we can stop here. Huh? Do you have any questions? You got any question you can ask? Huh? We'll stop at page 148. Yeah? Yeah. What is the time now? Oh, 5 more minutes. Okay. yeah. Pass the mic to Chui. Yeah. The microphone. Pass the tree at the back of you. Sorry. Yeah, tree. Yeah. Yes. Push it all the way up. Did the push? Okay.
You mentioned something about yes. Buddha eye.
Master Sri Noha mentioned.
So that is also another commentary and his own interpretation.
Yes,
because
yes.
I never read.
Yeah. I also haven't heard. That's why just now I was asking what he meant by Buddha eye. The thing that Sakyamuni Buddha they all teach, even Kuan Yin they all, is the Dhamma eye, Anasana, and the wisdom eye. And these two is there. The wisdom eye and the Dhamma eye. In fact, the Buddha is the embodiment of wisdom and virtue. And finally, when you truly comprehend, it's wisdom only. Because without wisdom, there is no virtue. Do you understand this part? I explained this part, but I never explained this part before. Do you understand? Essentially, it's only wisdom. Without wisdom, you can never have virtue. This part, I hope you can understand. I seldom share this. Okay, maybe tonight. I got a few more minutes. I try to share with you. Without wisdom, you cannot avoid all evil. You agree or not? Yeah? When you cannot avoid all evil, you cannot be virtuous. This is the first way to understand it. Can you follow? Yeah? That's why don't try to do good, like Krishnamurti say. Because your good is a conditioned good. Understand? Good according to you. But if you are incapable of evil, when you have the wisdom, you are incapable of evil, then you are naturally good. So that is the basic fundamental understanding. That's why do not try to do good or be good. You look at Chui, just give me a minute, I finish this part, then you can ask. Just like how the Buddha advised, you only have to train yourself to have heedfulness. Yeah. And when you are heedful, you can develop all the ability to avoid all evil and do good. And when you are able to avoid all evil, means you are incapable of evil, then naturally you are good. Yeah. So you look at the teaching of the Buddha and J. Krishnamurti, is the same. J. Krishnamurti said the absence of evil is good. And the Buddha's advice, all evil you have to avoid. If you can avoid all evil, means you are incapable of evil. Then, naturally, you will have virtue. That's the reason why I keep on explaining to you all, if you are on the right path, if you are on the right cultivation, you have developed the appropriate, correct awakening and the wisdom, your virtue will arise and manifest by itself. Your love, your compassion, your understanding, your generosity, your sincerity, your kindness, your gentleness, your pleasantness, your gratitude, respect, all these virtues, they will arise by itself. You don't have to learn. You only need to have wisdom, understanding. That's why, as you go through the cultivation, you will come to this very clear understanding. End of the day, it's just virtue that free your mind, liberate your mind. Without virtue, there is no Dhamma. Those have virtue, they are the one that has the Dhamma, means the wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot develop the real virtue. Now, Chui, you can.
In a way, I would agree with you that you need wisdom to be virtuous. However, I thought about it. Because 1 minute you say that, and the next minute you say that you've got to be virtuous to be wise, etc. So, you know, it doesn't work that way, at least for me.
You are right.
When I look at the time when the Buddha actually taught this Dharma. He was talking to a bunch of country bumpkins and whatnot, villagers and all that. And they are not people with tremendous amount of wisdom. They are simple people who practice virtue to get at wisdom.
Yeah.
So, you know, to say that one is sure way to get to the other, it's not quite true because it goes the other way as well.
That's why mundane
develop virtue. And then you develop. People like us are not smart either. So we would...
I understand your approach.
You know, and I'm very confused with sort of convoluted thinking.
Okay. You're off the mic. I will explain. What you have explained is just like just now, Brother Chai's brother. The worldly way is always the opposite, like what you say. You start to cultivate virtue, then you develop wisdom. That is the normal, mundane way. People will believe that this is logical. Because if you are not kind, not virtuous, you are not sincere, how can you cultivate? Again, logical, understand? But then the word, if you are not virtuous, means that virtuous quality come from where? Before you have the Dhamma, before you are wise, before you have the wisdom, how can there be virtue? Understand? Impossible. It cannot come about. virtue can only come about when there is no more delusion, when there is no more wrong view, no more selfishness. That's where wisdom come in. That's where the penetrative understanding of the Buddha Dhamma come in. But according to the mundane life, mundane world's thinking and understanding, it's always the other way around. Because to them, you must have goodness, you must have kindness, you must have virtue to do the correct thing. Then only you can learn and develop wisdom. But this is all doing things in the opposite way, using the thought process. The thought which is egoic and deluded will come out with a lot of idea to deceive you and tell you this is the way to do it. That's why Krishnamurti knew and saw this straight away. He said, forget about trying to be good, trying to be virtuous, trying to be kind, trying to be loving. Because all these are your thought trying. You are deceiving yourself. You don't understand what is love. That's why you cannot have love. To you, love means if I can love somebody, it is more of mundane love, understand not? Like my loved one, my children, my parent, my brother, my sister. I really try to love them. Then you try to do something which you think that is love, that is an expression of love. But then, whenever there is misunderstanding, or whatever conflict, what happened to that love? Gone is that? Then you will enter into a lot of argument. Then it can end up as hatred. Then it can become enmity and all those things. It's just like the English saying, when poverty knock on the door, what happened? When poverty knock on the door, what happened? The so-called love? You haven't heard of fly out the window, isn't it? You heard of that, isn't it? And the Chinese saying is, Yao qing yam sui bao. Got such thing, isn't it? But it's not a reality, isn't it? If poverty knocks on the door, the love fly out of the window, because your daily need are more important. So human need or craving is measured by what the form and mind go through. All the thought, all the emotion become secondary. Yes, Chui.
In all the Dharma that we have seen, and even when we go to the temples, you talk to the monks and all that.
Yeah.
The four basic things they always talk about is sila, dana, bhavana, panya. And they always say that panya will arise after you practice all these things and walk that path. It never tells us you must be wise to practice this. You develop as you go along.
I have to explain that. Oh, that one is very dangerous. You must understand it. Okay, Chuyo. Oh, I explain. You see, dana, sila, bhavana is correct. Sila, samadhi, panya also correct. So what is sila? Sila is the five precept minimum morality. And that is the one you have to keep. That is avoiding evil. Understand? If you cannot avoid evil, how can you meditate? Because law of karma. The fruition of violating karma will create a lot of karmic obstruction and suffering and impediment for you to have the causes and conditions to have a peaceful mind to meditate. That's why the monk will chant to you. Precept is the source of one. Silena sukanti yanti
Silena boga sampadan. Silena nibunti nyanti. What is the meaning of all this? Sila is the source of what? Sukanti nyanti is what? Source of spiritual happiness, joy. Then the second one is source of spiritual wealth. That's source of peacefulness. Because when you don't violate the precept, you are very peaceful. There is no karmic friction or repercussion or vipaka. That's why without sila, you don't avoid all evil. You cannot cultivate. There are too many of these obstructions. And you cannot have peacefulness of mind. So mental hindrance will come in. You cannot have that spiritual joy to realize piety. You cannot develop the spiritual well, because if you don't keep precept, you will not have the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. You go to a temple to listen to the Dhamma, because the first thing you need to do is, you have to keep your precept. You have to take your refuge. And these are the things that the Buddha teach from the inception. Puja, you have to do. If you don't do all this, you will not be successful in your cultivation. That's why sila is about avoiding evil. It's not about doing good. Understand? Do you understand? So sila leading to samadhi is correct. Without sila, there is no peacefulness of mind. There is no samadhi. There is no spiritual joy. There is no spiritual wealth. Without sila, you cannot cultivate. You cannot develop the spiritual faculty. You cannot cultivate bhavana. You cannot even develop samadhi to awaken or to insight into the universal characteristic, to arise the wisdom. That's why sila samadhi only panya. Without sila, there is no samadhi. Without samadhi, there is no panya, wisdom. Then dana is very important. Where dana is generosity. Without dana, there is no good condition for you to make aspiration to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise, so that nibbana can be realized. So all these are correlated. Then only you keep your sila. Then together with dana and sila, samadhi will kick in. You go and read the brown book. Understanding the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha at Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house, Dana. That book is very good. We better end. Wow, 10 minutes. Sorry to have taken your extra time. Okay, we recall to mind all the wholesomeness and goodness that we have developed over the past 2.5 hours or so. Then we will share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasatta cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakkantu loka sasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo ho tu. Yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you okay? Pay respect to Triple Jam, then we can end.